your science magazine of the air. How fast can a plane fly? Here is a story from the series Exploring the Unknown, a dramatic episode on your science magazine of the air. We live in an air age, we Americans. We invented the airplane back in 1903. 7 years ago, the flight from Chicago to New York took 5 hours. Then, in 1941, it was cut to 4. Today, less than 3. But Army jet planes are flying coast to coast in a little more than 4 hours. Let's move ahead. Let's peek at the future. How fast will you be flying in 1952? And what will the passenger plane that will carry you then look like? Guesses are easy things to make, too easy. But you can't explore the unknown with guesses. Let's participate a little in the problems of those scientists who are working today on the airplane of tomorrow. Let's begin our story in the control tower of an airport where a new rocket engine is undergoing speed test.
Tower,
go ahead.
This is 468, as if you didn't know.
Yeah, Roger, go ahead.
She handles like a dream. Conditions normal. Climb test completed. She goes up like she's got a hot date with an angel.
I hope you have your data put better tonight when you write up your flight report.
Oh, don't worry, Junior. I got everything down here in my little knee pad. I'll start the level speed test in a couple of seconds. Out.
Roger, out. Sorry, no admittance to control tower this afternoon. We're conducting tests. Hey, there's a sign outside there. No admittance. Both tests are secret. Nobody's
allowed. All right, Wilkins.
Oh, Mr. Pate. Come in, sir.
This is Mr. Wolf, Wilkins. He's with Statewide Air.
How do you do?
Glad to know you, sir. If you'll excuse me, I'll get back to the mic. Just sit anywhere there.
Tower from 468.
This is Control Tower. Go ahead, 468.
Turning into position for speed test. 8 miles due south of you over Twin Forks.
Roger. Out.
Hey, Junior.
Roger, 468.
I hear old man Page is going to try to high-pressure some big airline company into buying a couple of hundred of these engines.
Give me that microphone, Wilkins.
Yes, sir.
Hello, 468.
Roger, your voice is changing.
You bet it's changing. This is Page speaking.
Oh, hiya, boy.
You watch the dials, Kelly. I'll watch the customers, okay?
Okay. Sorry, sir.
All right, commence speed test.
Roger. In position. Indicated airspeed, 350. I'm putting on full throttle. Altitude, 10,000 feet.
Keep checking your controls.
Lighter the better. Answer the controls perfectly. No stiffness. Airspeed now, 400. 425. This airspeed indicator is moving like a second hand on a watch.
Check your engine instruments. Anything overheating?
Negative. All instruments indicating normal. Speed, 510.
This is amazing, Mr. Page. Are you certain you can put these engines on our standard transports?
Absolutely.
650. 698. 710. Sorry, Papa. A couple of more seconds, I'll be going faster than sound.
Faster than sound? Do you think that he can get over 764 miles per hour?
Test your controls again, 468.
Roger. They're getting a little stiff. Nothing bad, though, and...
Go ahead, 468. Go ahead. Go ahead, 468.
This is 468. The controls got pretty tight for a second, and she started to nose down on me, so I cut the power and climbed her. All right, now. Doing 640.
Bring her down.
It's okay now. Let me try once more, Chief.
Bring her down, Kelly. That's an order. You'll kill yourself.
Sorry, my receiver must be on the blink. I can't hear a word you're saying.
That fool.
Don't worry, Chief. I'll do it more gradually. If she fouls up again, I'll give you the land.
Bring her down, Kelly.
Here we go. 645. 655. 670. 720.
Test your controls again.
Chief.
What's wrong?
I've knocked it down. I can't pull up. I'll cut the power. Okay. I'm driving.
Hold! Face down! Head hold!
Pull back the stick, man!
Head! Head! Move it! Hold! Like a rock!
Powerful new rocket engine in a plane, and the plane flies at 650, 700, 725 miles per hour. Then the plane approaches the speed of sound, 764 miles per hour, and something knocks it out of the sky, wrecks the plane, and kills its pilot. What did it? Was it anything wrong with the plane? No, it was not. That plane had been designed to hold together at high speed. Designed and checked and counter-checked before flight. And nothing did go wrong with the plane. The killer in the sky was the speed of sound. That deadly number, 764. Why does a plane stop flying? Why does a plane fall as it approaches 764 miles per hour?
The most powerful engine ever built. Capable of making planes fly at undreamed of speeds. And guaranteed to make them crash.
Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Page, until that speed of sound danger is licked, well, we'll...
Licked? By whom, Gifford?
Well, aeronautical companies. I believe that in a few years...
A few years? Gifford, you must know that we've sunk a majority of our assets in developing our new engine. We can't afford to wait for tomorrow.
Oh.
I'm going to give you an assignment, Gifford. I intend that we build a plane worthy of our new engine. And I want you to tell us what kind of plane we're going to build.
Oh, I can't do that, sir.
I think you can.
Well, this is something beyond my knowledge. I haven't the experience or the data.
You can get the data. Miss, for experience, you must know by now that I built the success of my organization on a heavy disregard of experience.
But, Mr. Page...
Experienced people said we couldn't build our engine in the first place. Experience would have said I was a fool to pick a kid like you 6 years out of MIT and put you at the head of our streamlining department. Now, I want you to take 2 months, Gifford, and come in with plans and rough drawings to be submitted to our board.
Yes, sir.
Mike, it's after 8 o'clock. You better go to bed.
Oh, Mommy, I don't have school tomorrow.
Mike, when your mother tells you to go to bed, you go to bed. Now get upstairs immediately.
Daddy,
go upstairs, do you hear me?
Yes, Daddy. Night, everybody.
Good night, Mike.
Good night.
Well, what's the matter with you, Frank Gifford?
Nothing. I tell a kid to go upstairs, he should obey.
You never talked to Mike like that before in your life, Frank. Now, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Oh, come on.
I guess it's what happened today. Old man Page gave me the job of inventing an airplane.
I thought the Wright brothers did that back in 1903.
Very funny.
Okay. Just tell me.
Heard about the crack up at the field today.
Uh-huh.
Happened because the plane stalled out when she got near 764 miles an hour.
Oh.
All planes do that. You see, the airflow around the wing snarls up at that speed. The wing can't give lift, and wham! Instead of a plane, you've got a rock.
Mm-hmm.
So Page decided to build a plane that won't stall out. All he wants me to do is design it.
Well, I think that's wonderful. Will you get a raise?
I suppose so. We didn't discuss that part. Just gave me a big song and dance about how proud I should be to work on it. And on my chance to explore the unknown. A 2 month deadline. Great.
Well, he's right. You should be proud, Frank, at your age, to get an assignment like that.
No, honey, not this one. Not this one. This is impossible. I can't do it.
They said you couldn't design a rocket engine into the wing of a standard transport, and you did it. They said it was impossible to fly a jet plane at those crazy speeds. And a couple of weeks ago, the Army flew one from Washington to New York in 29 minutes. They always say that. But it's certainly a new thing to hear you say it.
Look, those were simply engineering problems. This is, well, this is like perpetual motion. It can't be done. I have to change the characteristics of air itself. I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed.
Okay. Maybe you'll feel different in the morning.
Oh, no.
Honey, Page knows how to pick his men. If there's anybody who can do this job, it's you. Even if you have to change the characteristics of air itself, you'll do it.
Change the characteristics of air itself. Yes, in a manner of speaking, that's exactly what must be done. When a plane flies at 200 or 300 or 500 miles an hour, it's held up by the difference in pressure of the air, which flows smoothly along the upper and lower surfaces of the wing. But as the speed approaches the speed of sound, the airflow snarls up and bubbles so that the lift is lost. Frank Gifford's challenge is to overcome this incredible phenomenon of nature.
Morning, Gifford.
Is it?
No. Morning, Mr. Page.
Have you learned anything yet? Anything that a layman like me could understand?
Yeah. That's almost impossible.
Well, I'm glad to find your attitude as aggressive as ever. I need to try to...
Excuse me. Gifford speaking. Yeah? What? Yes, he is. Just a minute. For you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Hello? Yes, speaking. No, I haven't signed any statement on that idea. Well, you can tell the boy they can send me the facts or get another president. Huh? All right, tell him at this afternoon's meeting, but do it tactfully. You don't have to accent the idea of a new president, but tell him firm I'm not passing on anything until I get the facts. All right. Come on.
You like to have your facts, don't you, sir?
I demand them.
You want a few from my department?
I thought you said you didn't have anything.
I mean about what we're up against here in research. What's so tough about designing that plane you
want? That's your department. I'm a layman. I haven't got the time.
This would take less than a minute, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
1 minute. You know what makes an airplane fly?
No. All I know is what makes it sell. The engine, I guess.
The engine does not make it fly. It's a wing.
What do you mean? I'd like to see you try to fly one of those buggies in the hangar without the engine.
Sure, but gliders fly without engines. You know you couldn't fly a plane without a wing on it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's true. The pressure of the air passing smoothly along the wing surfaces holds the plane up. You know why?
No, Mr. Bones, I don't know why. Let's see, you have 25 more seconds.
Now, look, here are two pieces of paper. Standard size and shape, nothing special about it.
Yeah?
Take them. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Now, hold one piece of paper in each hand. Now, hold them between your thumb and fingers, like this. About 2 inches apart.
Like this?
Yeah, that's fine. Now, what would happen if you blew between them?
I'd blow them further apart.
All right, fine.
Look, Gifford, I haven't...
Go ahead, sir. Blow. Go ahead. Notice anything?
Wait a minute. I wasn't blowing hard.
What happened?
I guess I didn't hold the papers right here. Let me try it again.
It won't make any difference, sir. What happened?
Well, the harder I blew, the closer together they came. I'm going to show this to my kid tonight. He'll love it.
What happened, sir, was this. The air presses against everything on Earth with 15 pounds pressure per square inch. But when air moves, the pressure drops. And the faster air moves, the less it presses. So when you blew between those papers, the pressure between them grew less, and the normal air pressure on the outside surfaces pushed the two papers together.
Yeah, this is cute.
Now, look at this. Here's a drinking glass. Now, if I hold a lighted match behind it and blow here on the side opposite from the lighted match, what'll happen?
Oh, I know that one. The match goes out.
Why?
Well, the air curls around the glass, I guess.
Right. And that's what makes a plane stay up. The two facts I've given. One, the faster air moves, the less its pressure. And two, air curves tightly around any object in its path. Now, you see, the wing is shaped like, well, like this book of matches. Round on top and flat underneath. So the air passing over the round top of the wing moves faster. The air on top of the wing is pressing less than the air moving under the wing. And the greater pressure from below holds the plane up.
I like this trick with the papers better. Not many people know about it.
Yes, sir. Now, did you understand what I said about why a wing flies?
Hmm? Oh, no, that's too scientific.
But it's simple, sir. The air passing along the upper surface...
Oh, Gifford, I don't care about the air passing along the upper surface of a wing or anywhere else. What's that got to do with why your job is so hard?
That's just it. At the speed of
sound... At the speed of sound, young Kelly went into a dive and got killed. That's all I care about, Gifford. As to why, that's for an engineer to work with. All I can understand is this little paper trick and how to sell a plane once it's built. Well, I'm going back to my office.
But, Mr. Page...
Good morning, Gifford.
You are listening to How Fast Will We Fly? The story of the airplane of tomorrow. A dramatic chapter of science at work, pushing forward the boundary between today and tomorrow. Presented on Exploring the Unknown. Scientist, an engineer, grows despondent. Something vicious and tricky about air when it moves at the speed of sound constitutes a mocking challenge, an almost impossible problem. So he turns to one of the practical machines in which an engineer can see the actions of air in motion and weigh its pressure in pounds and ounces. It's a long tubular structure with a huge fan at one end, capable of sucking a gale of tremendous force through the structure. It's what engineers call a wind tunnel.
it is as clear as it's possible to make it, Mr. Gifford. I've rigged this tunnel with a smoke streamer so you can watch the lines of the smoke as the air flows around the wing. They're blowing a wind of 600 miles per hour over the wing now. I'll just sit in that chair and you can watch it through the window.
Yes, all right. All right, now step up the speed until I tell you to hold it.
All right. 650 now. 700.
Now slowly.
705. 710. 715. 720.
Hold it right there.
Right.
Yes, for a time, air flows smoothly around any object in its path, around the wing of an airplane, and holds it in the sky. Smoothly, easily, the air flows along the wing, until air is traveling at 764 miles per hour, the speed of sound. Then the air curls and bubbles, twists around, and the wing, instead of giving a plane its lift, becomes a stick that only adds wind resistance.
There's a test plane crack-up, all right. The wing stops lifting, and wham.
Yeah.
Now, increase the speed up to 775.
What?
Go ahead. Now, look. Look at that.
Oh, she's flowing smooth again.
Sure. Now, step her up higher. Higher. Higher.
That's the top, Mr. Gifford. 900 miles per hour.
She's still smooth as silk over the wing.
I'd better shut the wing off. I don't think she'll take this speed long.
Okay, cut it. Just one little critical point, right below the speed of sound there.
Why does it have to happen only at that point?
You know much about wings?
Not too much, I'm afraid, Mr. Gifford. Enough to be a wind tunnel operator.
Well, it's pretty complicated stuff. Got to do with the air above the wing, traveling faster than sound, while the air under the wing is slower than sound. Sets up vibrations, forms a shock wave along the top of the wing.
But if the pilot who crashed had kept his engines going when he went into his dive, couldn't he have gotten past the speed of sound and pulled out?
You saw the air bubbling on top of the wing there. That causes too much resistance. He'd never be able to increase his speed once the air started to bubble.
Sounds like there's no hope at all. Hmm?
Well, not with airplane wings as we know them. The wing makes a plane fly. So the wing is the challenge. But what to do?
The wing is the challenge. But what to do? Frank Gifford desperately tries the obvious.
The regular wing on the plane causes air bubbles because it's too big. We'll design a smaller one.
But the cold facts of aeronautical science present an obstacle.
A small wing won't give enough lift to get the plane off the ground.
The wing is the challenge. What to do?
We'll catapult the plane into the air. Enough so that the small wings will take hold.
But, Mr. Gifford, the lab reports the passengers couldn't take the shot. Besides, the catapult would have to be a couple of miles long.
2 weeks of agonizing study, thinking, research. Then, what about two sets of wings? Regular for takeoff, small ones for super speed. Make the regular wings retractable.
But a check of the records blocks that.
Numerous tests have proved that retractable wings do not have the strength to withstand the stresses of flight.
What to do? The obvious is not so obvious. The obvious seems impossible. How do you get a wing to carry a plane faster than 764 miles an hour?
We'll use a regular wing. Sure. But we'll use air pumps to blast the air bubbles when they form. That'll get us over the problem.
The wing is built. The Swiss cheese wing, they called it. And then...
Gifford.
Yes, Carlson?
Report to failure.
The air blast knocked the wing for a loop. Air blast, retractable wings, catapults. You know what they're calling you behind your back? Gifford, the boy scientist. I ought to report you to Mr. Page.
Really?
Gifford, the boy scientist. That is not a bad name either.
What a nice husband I have. Home early on a weekday.
Yeah. Yeah, I quit work at 2.
One of the advantages of an executive position.
Mm-hmm. Guess I might as well use the advantages while I can. You know what?
What?
Putting the job along.
Oh, no.
Guess I owe you an apology for the way I've been acting these last 5 weeks. It's just the result of a guy's realizing for the first time in his life that he's failing in something. I've developed every possibility I could find. I wasted the company's money right and left on crackpot experiments.
Darling, I guess I don't know terribly much about what makes a good scientist a great scientist. But I have observed a few things, and I've noticed how you work. It's those crackpot ideas you said you wasted the company's money on that got you this assignment in the first place. Every promotion Page gave you from the crackpot suggestions you made. Page tests them, and some of them work. Only now he's letting you test them yourself without going through him.
Then why am I flopping at it so miserably now?
Well, darling, I think it's because for the first time you've had a whole job thrown in your lap. It made you get too scientific, and you didn't get any wild ideas. Feel any better?
Yeah.
Maybe you won't have to quit.
Yeah, maybe.
Frank, do me a favor.
Sure.
I want you to work on the plane tonight.
I can't. The lab's closed. The staff have all gone home.
I wasn't talking about the lab. Labs are for testing wild ideas. I want you to get some. Lock yourself in your study and don't open any engineering books. Okay?
Okay.
Come in. Gifford, here's a report on the use of small wings for high-speed flight that came in today from Page's office.
Good morning, Mr. Carlson.
Good morning.
Mr. Carlson, I have an assignment for you. I want you to start testing this design for a retractable helicopter rotor.
A retractable See here, Gifford, are you clowning?
No, just the boy scientist with another wild idea. Here's the plan. Start test immediately.
I warned you, Gifford, that I'd make a report to Page if you went crackpot again.
You can make a report to your grandmother if you wish, Mr. Carlson, and you have my permission to use office stationery. But first, you make a report to me on a retractable folding helicopter rotor, Mr. Carlson, and also on small wings. I'll be over this afternoon to check your work. Good day, Mr. Carlson.
Looks like this. Short, fat body, pointed like a bullet. Little stubby wings. Then there's a helicopter rotor on top of the body.
Oh, where are the engines?
In the tail. Fuselage is wide enough to house a whole batch of rocket tubes.
Oh?
Now, Mike, you sit over in the armchair. That'll be the tail. You'll be the rocket engineer, huh? Eleanor, you and I will be the pilot and co-pilot.
Can I see how fast you go?
Sure. Now, first we start the helicopter rotor. That's right, Mike. All right, the helicopter rotor spins and we take off, huh? All right, now we're in the air. Tilt the helicopter blades and move forward. All right, now. We're going 150 miles an hour. That's as fast as a helicopter can go, so we stop the helicopter. Mike, we stop the helicopter.
Oh.
Then, while we're gliding on the small wings that are too small to get us off the ground, but which can hold us when we go 150 miles per hour, we fold and retract the helicopter blades and quickly start the rocket motor. Which means that we're in a rocket engine airplane now, not a helicopter. All right, we accelerate. 200 miles an hour. 300. 400. 450.
Listen, I can say how fast.
In just a minute, Mike. All right, now we get up to 650, 675, 700. We reach the speed of sound. We start to drop. But because the wings are small, they don't cause very much drag when the air bubbles over them.
Hmm?
Never mind, honey. All right, we accelerate. Going down. 700. 750. We're past the speed of sound now, and the wings are lifting again. We start to climb. Okay, Mike?
750, 755, 760. Can you really retract helicopter blades?
Yep. Pull them right into the body all folded up. We tested the model of it today. You can't do it with a wing, but a helicopter is full of folding parts anyway.
Then the plane will work.
Well, it's a wild idea, but I'll bet it'll fly faster than sound.
Faster than sound. Frank Gifford has another wild idea, designed to fly faster than sound. Wild enough and practical enough for the board to approve it and have it tested.
8,000, moving forward on the helicopter. 150 now, shutting the helicopter motor off. Rocket jet firing. Speed increasing steadily. I just threw the lever that's supposed to retract the helicopter rotor. Well, I'll be...
What happened, 992?
It worked, Junior, it worked. Speed increasing hard now. 300. 350. 400. 450.
Hold tight to your chair, Mr. Wolf, and listen to what the man says.
525. 580. 620 miles an hour.
How do your instruments read?
Normal. It's flying smooth as a baby carriage. Did you ever see a baby carriage fly?
Take the regular radio procedure.
Roger. 670. 700 miles an hour. 720.
Now, are you sure you can break through the speed of sound, Mr. Page?
She's going into the dive now, but the speed's increasing. Should be able to pull her level any minute. Speed picking up.
This is it.
Speed increasing. Speed increasing. Boy, I hope she breaks through.
And she will break through. Yes, someday and soon, passengers will fly faster than sound. The wing is the challenge. And the challenge will be met by science, exploring the unknown. And now, here is Mr. C.B. Allen, aviation expert of the New York Herald Tribune and former colonel in the Army Air Transport Command. Mr. Allen.
An airplane specifically designed to break through the barriers surrounding the speed of sound not only exists now, but has satisfactorily completed its preliminary flight test. Sometime next month, it is scheduled to begin a scientifically planned invasion of the unexplored speed zone of 600 to 800 miles an hour that up to now has balked man's quest for supersonic speed. If this succeeds, experts say the flights will be the most significant since the Wright brothers' triumph at Kitty Hawk. There is nothing very unconventional looking about this aircraft, the Army XS-1, built by the Bell Aircraft Company at Buffalo. It is a relatively fat-bodied monoplane with extremely thin but exceptionally strong wings. Jack Willems, Bell test pilot, already has made 10 glider flights in it, on which the craft was released by an Army bomber at high altitude. A rocket-type engine is now being installed in the XS-1 and is theoretically capable of driving it at 1,000 miles an hour in level flight. In my opinion, it will be years before air travelers fly at any such speed. But the Army is making a good start toward that eventual goal.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. You have just heard How Fast Can a Plane Fly? A story from the series Exploring the Unknown, presented on your science magazine of the air. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.